Hey, everybody, we're going to get to my guests in just a second. Before we do, February 23rd and 24th, I'm headlining at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. So if you're in the area, come on out. Really beautiful club. You can go online for tickets, gothamcomedyclub.com. 23rd and 24th, Friday and Saturday, I'm doing 5 shows. Come on out. We'll have some laughs. And everybody gets a car. Okay, that part's a lie. But come on out. We'll have some laughs and hope to see you there. And my guest this week is Gautam Chopra. Really, really talented filmmaker who has a film out called Tom Versus Time, the documentary on Tom Brady. I'm a Patriots fan, so as I like to call him, the greatest man on the face of the planet. But in all seriousness, it's a really great doc. We recorded this interview just a few days before Super Bowl 52, and we recorded it at a time when the episodes for Tom Versus Time were still being dropped. They're dropping them on a daily basis. So the third episode came out on the day that we taped this, but it's a really, really cool conversation and a really great window into how this filmmaker got us to really see a side of Tom Brady that you haven't seen before, and gives us a window into Tom himself, and just a really, really fun, cool conversation with Gautam. So if you haven't seen the doc, go watch it. It's really great, and I'm not saying that because I'm a Patriots fan, and I hope to see you February 23rd and 24th at Gotham Comedy Club. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My guest this week is somebody I have a lot in common with. We're both New Englanders, and we're both Patriots fans, I guess that's fair to say, and someone that I've been really wanting to talk to. He's a filmmaker who has done a number of really interesting films and documentaries about sports and athletes, but the one in particular that I'm really fascinated with right now is the Tom Brady documentary, Tom Versus Time. And joining me is Gautam Chopra. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really good.
Thanks for
having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining the show. I know you're a born and raised in Boston, and I'm a Rhode Island guy, Providence, Rhode Island. So I guess we both grew up Patriots fans, it's fair to say.
Yeah, big time Patriots fan, Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics. I'm all in.
Yeah.
I
live in New York City now. It's a little tough being, especially a Patriots fan these days. I mean, there's a lot of haters out there, but, you know, try to hold our own down here in New York.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, I live in LA, so I'm behind enemy lines as well.
Yeah. Well, as we record this, the third episode of Tom Versus Time literally just came out today. And what I've watched so far has really been terrific. And I just want to sort of jump in. I mean, everybody takes their own thing away from a book they might read or a movie or a documentary. And one of the things that's jumped out to me is for Tom, it's as much as he wants to be a winner, it feels like it's really not about losing. There's a quote, it's more than just a game. It's losing in the pursuit of what my life is. When he talks about losing a game, that's a quote of his, more than just a game, losing in the pursuit of what my life is. Is that a fair takeaway? It just feels like, I don't want to say obsessed, but he's really drilled down on not losing as a sort of a one of his mantras maybe in his life.
Yeah, I think that, you know, look, I think where Tom is both in his career, 18 years in, and in his life to some extent, 40 years old, is it's a different place, I guess, than maybe he's been before. And so I think that sense of affirmation and that, you know, this is my life's purpose, this is what I was put on the planet to do, is something that he's very conscious of right now. And so he's really competitive. But I think, I would actually say, I mean, to some extent, he's beyond winning and losing. Look, nobody wants to, I'm sure, win this coming Sunday more than him. But he's got a sort of sense of perspective at this point, having been through, you know, lots of wins, lots of losses, you know, kind of experiencing the drama of both. And I think he looks at football as something that's truly, you know, a vocation of his. And that's really where the series lands. You know, we have some fun. There's the physical game and all the stuff he does. Mental, social, the one that's dropped this morning, is kind of like what it means to him to be one of the guys. you know, kind of build that chemistry with the teammates. I think ultimately where it lands, you know, to preview episode 5 is the spiritual game. It's like this is bigger, you know, for him. And those clues are dropped all along the way, but, you know, it really kind of ends up there.
It's funny because you say he's got perspective, but there's a couple things. There's a really fascinating part of this, one of the episodes where he's going through, he's got binders for each season. And he keeps a suspension letter, which I thought was incredibly fascinating. I assume as a motivational tool. Did you get any more insight into that?
Yeah, I think it's motivation. I think, you know, again, when you look at the span of his career, I think guys like Tom are always looking for some edge, some motivation. And I think that is one. But I also, you know, he keeps it there. He's Tom is not somebody I would describe as, you know, nostalgic or, you know, what's the right word? Like, emotional in that sense. But I think there's a sense right now, and especially maybe looking back at last year that started with the suspension in his personal life, his mother was going through, you know, sickness. I think the way the Super Bowl, you know, the historic nature of the Super Bowl, the comeback, et cetera. I think there were all these things that even he was kind of like, oh, okay, this is unique.
Yeah.
And this is worth capturing. And so I think element of that. And those binders are something he's been doing for 18 years. You know, he's got all 18 seasons, every single game plan in there. And I think, you know, the suspension letter is a artifact of last season.
Right.
You know, for better or for worse.
Right.
So,
and it's funny, you know, that the other moment that really struck me is, he's sitting at his desk in his home office, and he, and you mentioned, you know, sort of he's got perspective and it's a vocation, but he clicks on the 2007 Super Bowl, and you know, his quote is, oh, this is really bad. And he talks about being a failure in front of the world. He said, it's like a talent. He says it's like a talent show and you were the kid who failed. And then you watch him. It's such great filmmaking. You just keep the camera on him and you watch him watching that game and the one missed pass to Randy Moss. And you could just see him transform, and you could see it in his eyes how much pain he's in. And you say to him, I guess it's you, like, why do you put yourself through that or something to that extent? And he says, well, it's to keep learning. But I almost felt like, I don't know if I believed it was to keep learning or he just couldn't let it go or like what. Talk about that moment a lot from your perspective, because I thought it was really incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing moment. And I think that it's funny, like I had the impression while he was doing it, I'm like, but you would think he played this game last Sunday. I mean, it's that fresh.
Yeah.
He looks at, there's a pattern there. Like, hey, psychologist, look at, he had beaten Corey Webster or whatever. And
right.
I missed it. Like, and it's like as if it happened last Sunday. And this guy just loves the game so much. And yeah, I think it's learning. I mean, I think he can look at, you know, looking at himself or looking at, you know, a certain defense or whatever. Like, he's got this sort of beautiful mind, you know, where he can kind of deconstruct it and have it, you know, mean something for next week's game. But I think there's just this sort of like, he's got this sort of archive in his head, and you know, watching that probably like spark something, ignite for better or for worse in him. And that's his world. Like, and you can see him, and he talks about like, I can just disappear into this for 5 or 6 hours. And I believe him. Like, you know, it's he goes into a different state almost.
Yeah, he said it's soothing, and was the term he used. And I'm a stand-up comedian, and he said something that I really related to was, he goes, because it was after he talked about having a bad game or whatever, or losing the big game. He said, well, thankfully, there's always a game next week. And I know that feeling, like you have a bad set, and you're like, and then you go back and listen to it. And it was so parallel, watching him watch 2007 Super Bowl and putting himself through that. And I, even my wife has said to me a couple of times, like, why would you, you just did it. Why do you need to listen to it? Because I need to figure out what I did wrong, you know? And it's like, and, totally. And, it's so clear that I don't feel like he drags himself to work in the morning. I really feel like what I'm getting from this so far is that this is a guy that really loves to go to work and do what he does.
Right.
And that's admirable.
Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's a passion. And I think, look, I think this is one of the things that really drives, I mean, him and his desire to keep on playing is that he loves the game. He's really good at it. He's performing at, you know, as high a level, if not higher, than he ever has before. Mm. And even while, you know, certain aspects of his game, physically or whatever, you know, may decline, like, he enjoys the challenge of rebuilding himself and reconstructing his approach to the game. And that really comes from this deep, deep love of the game. And you feel that from him. Everything in his life, including his family life, hangs around, you know, football.
Yeah, I was listening to you I listened to WEEI a lot, I heard your interview with them, and you had mentioned, like, on that point about everything revolves around football, like, even when he goes away with the family, whether it's Costa Rica or this or that, it's centered. Even those moments in his life are really centered around football. Does he take his work with him? Is he taking computers with him and sort of reviewing film, or is he just making sure he's working out the way he normally does? Or how does that manifest itself when he's?
Yeah, I think it's physical. Like, I think first of all, he's training constantly. So I've been now kind of around the planet with him, you know, in Asia, Montana and New York and Boston, all that sort of stuff. And there's really no days off. And it's not just physical for him. It's mental. I mean, whether or not he has game tape, you know, with him, literally, I think he's constantly thinking about football. He's constantly sort of, you know, just going over things in his head. And, you know, his wife calls it. His wife says, you know, because she's very sort of spiritual and she practices different types of yoga and meditation, all this stuff. And she says, when I see him, you know, football is a meditation for him. It's just like, it's his expanded awareness.
Wow.
And football's never really far from him. I mean, whether or not he actually has those binders with him, it's always on his mind.
Right. When you're doing a documentary, it's a two-part question, sort of, how do you decide going in? I mean, I know you had talked about, like, you kind of knew him or had a relationship with him at least 5 years, and you had been sort of broaching this idea with him about doing a doc, and he finally said yes. How did you decide what the spine of this was going to be, what your focus was going to be? And then, do docs tend to take on a life of their own once you're in it and shooting it? And did this take on a life of its own and end up in a different direction, in a different place than you expected?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, initially, the seed of the idea was, you know, Tom was turning 40 in the summer, and we started in the off season. Like, how does a 40-year-old train for, you know, a football season? Mm-hmm. That is unprecedented, obviously, as any football fan knows. In general, professional athletes don't typically play to this age.
Right.
So that was a seed idea, and I think the focus was really physically, like, how does he physically train? I think the more time I spent with him, I realized, like, yeah, physical, absolutely, very important part, you know, not just kind of the work he does with his trainer, but just nutrition and just like the sort of lifestyle that goes along with that.
Mm.
But also, and, you know, we've been talking about it, like, there's this mental aspect of this game that he's, you know, is as important as the physical. There's an emotional aspect, like, how do you manage and juggle kind of family and growing children and aging parents and all this other stuff, high profile life. Mm. Like, how do you balance that so you can perform? Then there's this sort of, like, Tom talks a lot about, I'm just one of the guys, and it's really important to me that I'm just another guy on the 53-man roster. And I was like, okay, like, I get the sort of, you say, but, like, what does that look like? How do you do that? Like, how do you prepare for that when you are a 5-time winning, you know, champion, everyone calls you, go, you're married to a supermodel, all of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how exactly do you, you know, sort of execute the one of the guys type of thing?
Right.
So that, you know, sort of became a roadmap, and we talked about it, and, you know, different ideas came up. But, you know, it's the nature of documentaries. I mean, they call them non-scripted for a reason, because, you know, that you go where the kind of story tells you, and it definitely evolves over time. And when you have such a collaborative partner, like, I can think of these things and I can, you know, kind of poke around, come up with a structure, but like, it always has to come back to him and, you know, say, okay, Tom, this is what I'm thinking. And either am I, you know, barking up the right tree or the wrong tree? And then if I'm right tree, it's like, okay, well, how do we visualize this? How do we, you know, because we can only sit around and talk so much. And so it's definitely a very collaborative process. And when you have somebody as willing as him to sort of open up, it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I heard that this was being done, it felt like an inherent paradox on some level, because knowing, being a fan and knowing a fair amount about him, how in a good way controlling he is, and meticulous is one word that he uses to describe what he does and how he is in the doc. But then the nature of a doc is, you know, the person who's the subject of the doc kind of needs to really not be in complete control. And so it sounds like you were able to sort of bridge those two almost contradictory kind of themes or agendas, right? Because obviously he's a control guy in some ways, but you really are the filmmaker, and he needs to allow himself to sort of be seen, warts and all. Was it tough to kind of get there with him, or was he pretty open to getting there?
He's pretty open. I think, you know, obviously there's the benefit of a relationship that, you know, precedes the project.
Yeah.
While it's, you know, definitely evolved considerably over the last, you know, 9 months, I guess, working on this. Mm. I think there's a sort of underlying trust and respect, and I'm a fan and a huge admirer of everything he's accomplished. But I think likewise, Tom, you know, he watches documentaries and he appreciates the art form, and he trusts that, you know, I know what I'm doing. And then there's a, like, I'm not a reporter, like, trying to come in and kind of, you know, break him down and, you know, get behind the sort of curtain. Mm. I'm a collaborator, and there's a deep trust, like, you know, for the 90 minutes that ends up in a documentary, there's hours upon hours upon hours of footage that you shoot. And some of it doesn't make it in because it just doesn't sort of fit, you know, creatively into the structure of the story you're trying to tell. And some of it, candidly, is just private. And it's like, yeah, no, that's great. Like, I always sort of say there's something therapeutic about this process. And, you know, guys say a lot of things almost like you feel like to get them off their chest. But, you know, as they're sitting, you're like, okay, that's going to go away. And, like, you know, that's not going to see the light of day. And, you know, we don't want to, you know, sort of kick up any, you know, dust or anything like that. So, but, and he knows that, and I know that, and that's part of the process, and that's how you get to this level, I think, of hopefully, like, authenticity.
Well, you know, there was a moment in there too that kind of personally reminded me of my interaction with my wife when I have a bad day at the office, and for any spouse, I guess. They lose the first game of this season to the Chiefs, and he's driving home with Giselle, and he's like saying something to the effect that was a shit game. You know, I'm giving too much. I'm probably giving the whole doc away, and Giselle's like, just, she had really great advice. Like, hey, you know, it's like, you know, you're figuring this out. You're figuring each other out as teammates. I thought it was nice to see him in a, you know, real human, frustrated, even as great as he is at what he does, you know, kind of scratching his head, trying to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very human from him. There's, you know, frustration that, you know, you don't necessarily see, like, in the post-game press conference, he's very composed and all of that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's very relatable. But I think she's, like, very relatable in that scene. And their relationship is very relatable in that scene. She's been around the game. She's, you know, been with him for, like, over a decade now. She sits in that box and she sees things, and, you know, and even her insight, and I think her insight is really accurate in that, like, hey, it's the first game of the season. You're just sort of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And, like, it'll get over. But there's also, like, you can sense in him a little bit of, like, yeah, I know, but I'm just, you know, frustrated right now. Like, and I think anybody who's married, and I just kind of, like, want to get home and go to sleep or whatever, look at the tape. And think anybody can relate. And like, you know, they have for both, you know, she's as prolific and successful, if not more, you know, in her field than as he is. But but underneath, there's sort of a married couple.
That's exactly, you know, right. Like, you know, you just alluded to it, and everybody says, oh, he's got the perfect life. He's got a dimple and the hot wife and the this and the that. And they're sitting in the car, and it's like, it's just like any other couple where one of the spouses had a bad day at work and the other one's just talking him down from the ceiling. And then you could really tell how pissed he was. I mean, I could tell from the shot in the back seat going through the windshield that I saw the access sign. Yeah, I could tell he was leaving Foxborough and he was probably stuck in a little traffic. And then when he cleared traffic, you could hear him floor the truck and he just starts driving. Like, you could tell he was pissed just from that, you know? And I it was a small moment, but a big moment for me anyway, as a viewer of it. I thought it was really, really, really interesting to see the window into the two of them, their relationship, and how he deals with setback or doesn't deal with setback. Well, you know, that was really great. He was working with a throwing coach in LA, and he was working on the torque of his body. And then he says something like, you know, yeah, I think I had a kind of a bit of an orgasm. Like, he got something right at the end of it. He was working through it. And then the coach says, Tom's walking away, and he says he thinks he made a major breakthrough, but frog hairs. So what did he mean? What did that coach mean by that? Was that tied to the 1% thing that he says where, you know, Tom comes in to improve 1% at a time?
Yeah. I mean, look, here's a guy 18 years in, 5 Super Bowls, you know, seven Super Bowl appearances, 5 victories. I mean, he's set every record, and I'm not sure even, I know you and I are both Patriots fans, New Englanders, but like, you know, I think it's pretty well established and non-controversial to say, you know, he's, if not the greatest of all time, he's in a very elite category. And yet, like, in the off season, in the middle of July, he's, you know, on a field in Los Angeles working with Tom House, who's sort of like the, you know, the throwing guru, and he's, you know, trying to figure out torque. Like, I mean, I look at him like, wait, haven't you figured this out by now?
I know.
It's sort of like this mad scientist, like in a laboratory, to sort of achieve perfection. And so, and you know, Tom House sort of snickers. I mean, Tom, you know, House, the coach, works with, you know, Tom Brady, works with Drew Brees, and he's like, yeah, these guys, like, this is, you know, they're trying to get one. They're already in. I mean, anybody to achieve that level. I mean, you know, we all sit around and as Patriots fans, we were criticizing whatever Blake Bortles last week. Like, Blake Bortles is amongst the top 1% on the planet.
I know.
At what he does.
I know. You know? I know.
And so already, but that's, and you know, no criticism Blake Bortles, but like that is kind of, I think, because there are a lot of other quarterbacks who achieve greatness across the season, or, you know, RG3, like amazing. But to do it over 18 years, like Tom or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning, or I mean, it's otherworldly. And that's kind of, I think, what you get out of that scene.
Well, and you see it, you know, I hearken back to something Charlie Rose said. You know, Charlie Rose said, you know, early on, I would interview these people at the top of their game, whether it's world leaders or captains of corporations or whatever, or athletes or actors. And I thought, well, these people are all born with this sort of special gift that God touched them on the forehead. But then as I realized over time, as I interviewed these people, that basically they just work really, really friggin' hard, and maybe harder than anybody else in their field. And it is the 10,000 hours thing. And that comes through with Tom, especially. It was great that you show him in his combine and he's standing there in just his shorts and he's got to get, you know, like he's not the most physically gifted guy. And he talks about that. And it's clear that he's just kept his foot on that pedal all of these years and not just one season, as you say. And I'm curious as to, that's 2001 when he takes over for Bledsoe and then he goes on to win the Super Bowl. Highly, you know, just, it's just so crazy that that happened and no one could have predicted that. Is there something that you learned in making the doc about him that was able to inform you that he was able to do that just coming off the bench then? Because he wasn't then what he is now in terms of experience and conditioning and everything else. And he even says that,
But was there something that you picked up in doing this with him that, now I could see why he was able to do that in 2001?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Tom is really composed and he's a very sort of in general balanced guy. But I think he's hyper competitive. And I think he's one of those athletes that, you know, he's always sort of finding that edge. And I think he's always sort of been the guy who's kind of not the perfect specimen and not the, you know, the first pick. And he didn't start at Michigan. He played behind Drew Henson. Then he, you know, was sixth round pick, and he remembers that, you know. And there's a great, you know, the other documentary he's done, you know, way back in the past, the Brady Six, which is about the other guys that, you know, went ahead of him. And he remembers that, like, every single team, including the New England Patriots, passed on him, you know, six times. And that still sort of five Super Bowl victories, et cetera. He still sort of remembers that. And I think that, you know, he knows this season, like, everyone was like, I mean, the sort of underlying motivation behind this whole project is like, oh, nobody does this at 40. His skills are, and, you know, you, in the doc, you hear these constant chatter from, you know, ESPN and Fox Sports, WEI and everywhere. Like, oh, he's going to, you know, it's just a matter of time. Like, nobody beats Father Time and stuff like that. And so I think that's always sort of been there, is like, oh, you don't think I can do it? Let me show you.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm a Patriots fan. Drew Bledsoe saved this franchise. I mean, the original sort of prodigal son. You don't think I could beat out this Hall of Famer or this, you know, All Pro? Okay, cool. Let me show you.
Well, And that's what's really great about the doc, is because you see Tom being a human being, which is like, we all have inherent contradictions, because there's a quote where he says, I don't need exterior motivation. The ones I have inside me are enough. And I believe that. And I believe that he believes that. But I also don't believe it, because I see the suspension letter and I hear some of the things he says in it. And I know that, you know, he's a guy that comes very, that, you know, gets motivated by people saying you can't do something. So I do think he's influenced by exterior motivation. Has exterior motivation, like we all do, and it's funny to kind of see him say that he's not. It's really kind of cool window into the guy, you know.
Yeah, I think that, look, we have a tendency, and certainly as a storyteller and documentarian, everything to mythologize these guys. But, you know, there's no formula. There's no definitive answer of what motivates him. I think he's always in competition with himself. You know, he has a warrior spirit. These are things he says, and I believe that. Like, there is something that drives him inwardly. But I think there's also constantly, like, outward things that are, you know, he's hearing. He hears that constant noise. He knows what people say. And so I think, you know, it's a combination. And it depends on the week, you know. Things change. I think to compete at that level, frankly, you have to constantly be finding different things to push you. Because the reality is, like I said, if I step back, I'm sort of objective. I'm like, hey, Tom, like, you're the greatest. I don't know. Like, even the critics kind of agree at this point.
Right.
You know, you're the greatest who's ever played this game. Like, what? Why are you still doing this? Like, and it's because, you know, there's a lot of different answers. And it, again, it depends on the week, you know, what the answer is for that week.
Well, he did say at one point, it's like just achieving perfection. Like, you get the sense that, you know, that they say, especially when you're a kid, don't worry about the outcome, enjoy the process. Well, he just loves the process. It's so clear. And it's so clear that he looks at the process and what he does almost as like an artist does, and to make the perfect painting or the perfect joke or the perfect song, you know. And like he says, I'll sit here 5 hours watching film. And I think that all comes through. And I think it's great that, because, you know, leading into it, because I listen to EEI all the time on my phones, and it was a lot of talk about it, like, and it was going to focus, there was everybody saying it was focusing on his workout, his TB12 method and the eating and everything else. But what I've seen so far, it's really, that's in there, but that's almost like a vehicle through which we get to really see him, which I think is great. Like, I really feel like it's focusing more just on what makes this guy tick and what kind of a, you know, emotionally and mentally the kind of guy he is, which I think is is really terrific and what makes it great.
CB12 and Tom's approach physically to how he trains for the game is a very big part of his preparation and how he's been able to achieve what he's achieved. But there's this other side, I think, or there's a holistic, you know, I always sort of joke, like there's physical pliability, totally get it. There's also mental pliability, emotional pliability, spiritual pliability. And that is a big part of his, and I was able to capture that because like, he just let me sort of be there. I'm a, like, this is what you always aim to do as a documentarian is be a fly on the wall and don't perform. We're not going to stage this. We're not going to do multiple takes. We're not going to like, you know, just kind of keep it doing it over and over. I just want to be here. I want to be in the car with you. I want to be, you know, when you're training with Julian and Danny, like on the field, like, and he let me, and I think that comes through and, you know, you really feel a connection and honesty and you know, I'm lucky.
Yeah, you do. It really, and as a viewer, you do. And I can't wait to see the rest. It's on Facebook Watch. It's Tom versus Time. It's a really, really great doc. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Tom Brady Patriots fan. And it was really great talking to you. And I'm a big admirer of your work. And we'll talk some more because I want to talk about some of your other work and some of the other people that you've done projects with. But thanks for being on. Gautam Chopra, filmmaker, Tom versus Time. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be on with me today.
Thank you, Paul. I really enjoyed it and can't wait to be back.
All right, that was Gautam Chopra. We're going to do more with him because we want to let the rest of the series play out, and then I want to sort of bring him back and talk about it in its totality. But a really, really interesting conversation, I thought, and just a really, really, really artful way of getting a window into an athlete who is truly at the top of his game. And February 23rd and 24th, hope to see you guys at Gautam Comedy Club in New York City. Go online, get some tickets. I got 5 shows Friday and Saturday, February 23rd and 24th. And please send the links around to your friends and let them know about the podcast and this particular episode. I think everybody's going to really enjoy it. Thanks.